Warriors Sound at the Rakuten Performance Center here in Oakland with Sean Livingston, and it's the check-in with Sean. We did it at the start of the playoffs. Now, as the Warriors enter the NBA Finals for the fifth consecutive year, you look at what this playoffs has been and what it's represented to the players. And Sean, this one was a real journey getting here, but what are we taking into the finals from what we've seen from this team, from the Clippers series, then what took place with the Rockets, and then most recently the sweep of the Trailblazers?
Yeah, looking at what we've been able to accomplish, throughout this playoffs, it's, you know, I think we're taking in a lot of confidence, the persistence of getting through those series. Most of those series, you know, two of the three series, we were undermanned, with guys going down to injury. So coming out of those series, right, you have a sense of belief in yourself. You have a sense of confidence in yourself. Guys like Jonas, Quinn, JB, guys that's been on the bench throughout most of the series and then gets the opportunity to play and makes the most of it and contributes to, you know, a winning formula. You strengthen the team. You strengthen the morale of the team. Everybody feels a part of it. And we know that's usually not the case in the playoffs with a lot of NBA teams. So I think we feel confident going in. Obviously, we'd like to get healthy. We'd like to welcome everybody back. You know, Kevin, Andre, DeMarcus, huge part of our team, huge part of our success, and continue to strengthen the guys down the line.
You know, you look at what's happening in the Eastern Conference Finals. As we tape this on this Friday, the Raptors lead the series against the Bucks 3-2. Both teams are offering tremendous challenges to the Warriors when the NBA Finals start in the Road City, whether it's Toronto or Milwaukee, on May 30th, a Thursday. And as that arises here, you got to look at what these two teams do and what challenges they present, and preparing for both of them kind of at the same time here.
Yes, and this will be our first finals on the road, starting on the road. So I think it's an exciting challenge for us, similar to last year in Houston when we started on the road. We had never been in that situation. Honestly, we'd had the best record in the league last few years. And so now, having that type of challenge, going into an opposing city, opposing team, and play, Toronto gets very loud, Milwaukee gets very loud. So both those teams present, you know, a variety of challenges. And, you know, they both played us well throughout the regular season. So. But this should be an exciting finals for us to look forward to, starting on the road, going in there to, you know, capture our momentum that we've had the past few weeks, and hopefully being able to take, you know, one or two games.
Sean, you're always the best. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks, Els.
Always great to hear from Sean. And as our coverage continues here at the Rakuten Performance Center at team headquarters in Oakland, as the Warriors get set for either the Bucks or the Raptors in game one of the NBA Finals, which, again, will take place on the road. You think about this downtime, which isn't exactly downtime because they're preparing for something, as we're joined by Jim Barnett, Warriors broadcaster, who's been doing the games on the Warriors radio network. And Jim, it's the camaraderie, it's the time they're spending here getting together what's going to be the fifth straight finals.
Lawrence, I really think this team is at a peak emotionally, physically. Hopefully they'll get a couple of people back. We don't know yet, but they're not worried about that because they played against the Portland Blazers at an incredible level, coming from behind in three of the games. And you saw Stephen Curry and what he can do and how he can take over a game. And if they play the kind of defense that Draymond Green made them play the last two games, I don't think, doesn't matter whether it's Toronto or Milwaukee, I think they're prepared to beat either of those clubs. And you can just feel the positivity that is in the workout center, the Rakuten center here. And I just think very positively about this team, and I think they're really on a high right now and very confident.
feels like it's all been building to this for several years, but here in just this playoffs, it all started against the Clippers, and there were some lessons learned in that series. Let's go series by series as we got to where now the Warriors are in the finals, and let's start with the Clippers. What did you see there?
Well, what I saw was a team that was seeded eighth that played like they were seeded second in the conference, and they gave a huge challenge. And in fact, I'll be candid, without Kevin Durant, and in game five he had 45 points, in game six he had 50, without Kevin Durant, the Warriors could have easily lost in the first round, which would have been a real downer. And despite Stephen Curry, who shot 50% from three in the series, he was 24 or 48 in the series from three-point range, but I'm not sure it would have been enough with that team. They really did a super job. Doc Rivers has to be very proud of that club. But they survived. And then they met this Houston team, who's a juggernaut. They're known for the offense, but defensively, they put it on the Warriors. And they had to rely on Kevin Durant a lot until he got hurt. But in that series, Stephen Curry was 28% from three throughout the series. He really, really struggled. But then all of a sudden, when he had to and Durant was out in game six, Stephen Curry becomes Stephen Curry. And the second half, he scores 33, 23 in the last quarter, and he just wouldn't let them lose. He hit shots that normal people in the NBA not only would not take, but they would never make. But they overcame an incredible defensive effort by Houston. And a lot of people say, you know, they're not going to meet a tougher team all the way through the playoffs, including the finals. And I might agree with that. I might actually agree with that. But they beat Houston, who had all their guns and with all their analytics and everything like that. And the Warriors beat them solidly in six on the opponent's floor.
So both of those series, Clippers and Rockets, going six games, each of these series thus far have wrapped up on the opponent's court, and the last one being the sweep against the Portland Trailblazers. If you could say a tightly contested sweep, that's what you'd have to say about this one. But Draymond Green really tearing it up this playoffs and was just like otherworldly against Portland.
Particularly the last two games where he got huge triple doubles, and he averaged 14 points a game in the series. In the last two, he had 18 and 20 points. So he's scoring, hit the biggest three in the overtime period with 39.4 seconds to go, put the Warriors up by four. But that's not it. The story, and I love sitting up there with Tim Roy, and I'm away from the court, and I can watch just Draymond Green. I don't have to talk as much, Lawrence, and I can see Draymond Green. All that he does, all of a sudden, those guards are trying to get something going, and he takes away that play. And then so he anticipates where the next play is coming, and he's all of a sudden he's there. And after a while, he's roaming all over the court, and now the shot clock down is below 5 seconds, and they have to force up a bad shot. He controlled that whole series, and particularly the last two games, defensively. And he made every big person in the Portland Trailblazer lineup. I know Myers Leonard, you know, got a big scoring game. He had 25 in the first half in game four, but that really didn't hurt the team. They were going to survive through that. But Draymond Green changed everything defensively, and he owned every big in that series. It was phenomenal. And then, of course, they know how to turn it on. And listen, Stephen Curry, he has two 36-point games. He has two 37-point games. He rises to the occasion in big moments. They're coming off that series. But the defense that Ron Adams, the strategy, those two guards, Damian Lillard and McCollum, did not hurt the Warriors. Game four they did some, but up until that point, neither one had scored 23 points, and they were shooting under 40% in the series.
So one of the big questions that the fans have had as we head toward the NBA Finals, and great analysis, Jim, is, well, here. When will we see Kevin Durant and DeMarcus Cousins in the NBA Finals? When will they come back? Kevin Durant speaking to the media today on this Friday here at team headquarters, and R.C. Davis was there listening in. When you heard what Kevin Durant was saying and kind of what he's been taking from the past several weeks, kind of break that down for us.
As you know, the Warriors announced that Kevin Durant and DeMarcus Cousins would be reevaluated on Wednesday, the day before Game 1. So the team put Kevin Durant in the chair, and he met with the media, and one of the first questions was how successful the team has been without him, 5-0, and how the bench has stepped up. So Kevin Durant in his own way, spoke about how tough it was having to watch the game from afar and the team play so well in his absence.
It's good to see, you know, like I said, guys who haven't played much throughout the season get opportunity on such a huge stage in front of so many people. And, you know, the stuff that I see every day, a lot of people don't. So for them to get that platform to show their skills was cool.
Some of these young guys, like Quinn Cook, close friend of his from the D.C. area, these guys got the opportunity to shine in these series. And I throw that back to you here, Jim, to say this now, after that last series, feels like the strength in numbers thing is super pertinent.
Yes, and it kind of came out of nowhere, basically in Game 6 in Houston. And R.C., you made a good point, because I failed to mention how good the bench was in this last series. And all we'd seen from the bench, essentially, all I remember was Jordan Bell finally getting some action with 2.9 seconds to go in a quarter and getting burned by on a backdoor play by James Harden for a layup. And then he didn't see any action, but then they had to bring people in when Durant got hurt, and they bring people off the bench, and Jordan Bell has been excellent since then. They even started Damian Jones in one of the games against Portland. He picked up three quick fouls, but they're not afraid to play people like Jacob Evans in Game 4. All of a sudden, he's in a closeout game, and he's playing significant minutes. And what can we say about Kevon Looney? I mean, he's part of the foundation. He picks up 14 points in that last game, 14 rebounds, 6 at the offensive end. Hits in overtime, neither Thompson nor Curry scored in that overtime period. But McKinney scored because he's a great rebounder, great offensive rebounder. Looney scored, and obviously Draymond Green hit that three, we know. So unlikely suspects, if you will, but they're playing with confidence, and they aren't afraid, and Steve Kerr is not afraid to put anyone on the floor, anyone all the way down the roster, and they've really built that strength in numbers thing. And it's and players like that, when they are given a chance and they've got people behind them like Stephen Curry and like Kevin Durant, like Draymond Green, encouraging them, it empowers them, and they're going to play better.
Jim, you were a starter and a rotation player in your career. Talk about how Alphonso McKinney, Quinn Cook getting shots up after games. Talk about staying ready in the next man up mentality.
Well, RC, that's the real key. That you have to believe in yourself, number one, and you have to accept whatever role you're given, whether you're a starter or coming off the bench. And in a couple of places, I was like always the sixth man, and I was that with the Warriors at times. And I relished that role because I knew one thing. I've got to come in and play well, and I've got to change the game, and I've got to give them a different dimension. What can I bring to the table? Do they need a little scoring right now, or do they need more defensive pressure? And so I've got to focus on how each game, what role I can play. And I was a good all-around player. I was a very good individual defender, but I could also drive to the basket and get us to the free throw line. If guys were just settling on outside shots, my strength was going to the basket and stuff. But I would evaluate whatever. I know this. I wanted to make a difference when I came into the basketball game. And when your teammates and a coach depends on you for that kind of role, then you accept that responsibility and you get empowered by that.
All right, all throughout the NBA playoffs, we have had the analysis in the post game from not just head coach Steve Kerr, but also Jim Barnett joining Tim Roy. Jim has been on the radio broadcast on the Warriors Radio Network, and the games have been exhilarating. Our post game commentary that we share with you here on Warriors Sound is really a fun thing to pass along to the fans. Please note that this will continue through the NBA Finals. But for now, on this Friday at the Rakuten Performance Center with Jim Barnett and R.C. Davis, special thank you to Sean Livingston for helping tip this whole thing off. I'm Lawrence Scott, and this is Warrior Sound.